Our reading today comes from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. Listen now for God's word to us. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning, God wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backwards. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. God who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. These are powerful words. They have an effect on us when we hear them. They're thought-provoking. They grab our attention. These are words filled with imagery. Some of it difficult imagery, to be quite honest. This speaker is a faithful servant who listens intentionally and speaks willfully. This person's ear is wakened morning by morning, and words emerge to speak. This servant speaks a word to sustain the weary. This servant listens intentionally and speaks willfully, but there is resistance. This servant is bold to speak a word to sustain the weary, but that word is met with antagonism, opposition, and abuse. That imagery is difficult for us to hear. But thankfully, in this passage, antagonism, opposition, and abuse don't get the final say. They don't even get the loudest say. This servant is also bold to proclaim that God sustains through it all. God vindicates. And though the resistance may be strong, it is in no way stronger than the God who loves, the God who calls, the God who forms, fashions, and transforms, the God who redeems, the God who opens up our ears morning by morning to hear a sustaining word, a word that we can also be bold to proclaim. This week, we need a sustaining word. The news cycle has been overwhelmingly painful this week. And it's not just a news cycle. These are human lives. This week, 2 days in a row, two African-American men were killed by police. On video, recorded by people who witnessed it. And these videos spread across social media for all to see. They were traumatic. First, Alton Sterling was killed by police officers in Baton Rouge. And one day later, Philando Castile, gunned down in his car, his girlfriend and his 4-year-old child in the car with him. These videos are so painful to see. It appears that these two men could have done nothing to avoid being shot by police. And I keep thinking about their children. Alton Sterling was a father of 5. Philando Castile, a father and also mentor and friend to so many children in the elementary school where he worked. And after these two deaths, people began to protest. People took to the streets. And one day later, during one of these protests in Dallas, police officers were helping peaceful protesters. The police were peaceful, as were those protesting. They even took some photos together at one point before a sniper shot into the crowd, deliberately shot 11 police officers, 5 died, 6 are injured. These men have names too. They are Brent Thompson, Patrick Zamaripa, Michael Kroll, Michael Smith, Lauren Ahrens, and Brent Thompson. They too were fathers and grandfathers. They were keeping the peace that night. But there was more violence. All of this rocks our world. All of this wakes us up to attention. And my friends, I encourage us not to pit these deaths against each other. It is completely possible to be pro-black and pro-police. It is completely possible to be pro-police in their lives and to be completely against police brutality. We must stand against it. We live in a world and in a nation where racism is rampant, where violence seems to take over at times, and it's all we see on the news. It costs human lives. We have to stand up to these forces, not only in our world, not only in our nation. Yes, in the structures and institutions and the cultures within them that make these realities, but also in our own hearts. Because that is where so much of this starts. In the midst of all of this, we need so desperately a sustaining word. The words of our scripture this morning were incredibly powerful when they addressed their present-day context. The prophet who wrote these words spoke to a community that was truly weary. The prophet addressed a community of beaten-down exiles. Scholars believe that chapters 40 through 55 of Isaiah were written toward the end of the exilic period, when the people of Judah lived forcibly as exiles in Babylon. The people of Judah had lost nearly everything. Babylon, the nation of their captivity, these people burned the temple in Jerusalem to the ground, the most holy place of Judaism. And they forcibly moved the people of Judah from their own land to exile in Babylon. Perhaps it's hard for us to wrap our minds around how cataclysmic this would be. But are some of us really a stranger to this? In our nation, we have people who wonder reasonably if they can ever be safe, at rest, or to feel fully at home. There are people here, people of color here, who fear for the lives of their children. They feel constant worry that their children's lives might be taken captive as they are harmed by violence. They fear that they or their children will be labeled as inherently violent, though they've done nothing wrong. Sometimes people desperately want to feel at home and struggle to do so. The prophet who wrote and spoke this text addressed people who were very weary. And we could say that weary is an understatement. In this context, we can see how the prophet's words were incredibly empowering. In chapters 40 through 45, the prophet often speaks of a servant who glorifies God. That servant is Israel herself in this text, the weary people who are more empowered than they recognize. These weary people, these weary, defeated exiles are being told that together they are a beloved servant of God and a powerful one. God has not abandoned them. Given all that they've suffered, it's not hard to imagine that they might question that. But God has not only remained faithful with them, God has empowered them and called them to be holy, beloved servants. And though their message will meet resistance, not even antagonism, opposition, and abuse will be able to thwart their message of love, their message of inclusion, their message of peace, their message of hope. These scriptures and these chapters use the word servant, but this is one who is empowered. Not enslaved, not in chains, empowered to serve with vitality and life. God has not abandoned them. These are powerful words for people who have been disempowered. These are powerful words for people God is continually empowering. So where do we find ourselves in this text? Where do we find ourselves in the news this week as real lives have been lost through violence? Are we the exiles? Are we the weary ones? Are we the powerful and privileged who don't really want to hear the message of this servant? Do we feel confronted by these words and respond with insults and spitting? Or do we seek to be empowered by God, to listen intentionally and speak willfully like this very servant, so that we might stand up for those who are facing violence, so that we might stand against the insidious effects of racism? My friends, where are we? Wherever we are, in the midst of the nation's pain today, we can easily feel helpless, unsure how to address the problems we face and the problems we create. Perhaps we feel beaten down and held in exile by some sense of nobodiness. Or perhaps we feel held in exile by our own wrongful acts. But God's message to us, if our ears will be awakened is that we are precious, beloved children of God, no matter what. We have a calling to speak that to the world, to speak it toward the news cycle, and to create a world that values lives so deeply and thoroughly that we are never threatened to name the lives that matter particularly. My friends, Black lives matter. They do. They matter in a world that so often tells them they don't. They do. And the lives of those police officers matter. You matter. Our world matters. And we are called with this sacred worth to open ourselves to hearing God and seeing God all around us, in one another. We're called to lay our ears to the ground that they might be awakened morning by morning, to hear deeply and profoundly that God is at work in this world, around us, beyond us, in spite of us, and yes, in and through us, even in and through us. You, my friends, are prophets. You are empowered prophets. Have you ever thought about that? You are prophets who are called to listen intentionally. And then, with humility, you are empowered by the grace of God to willfully speak, to willfully act. So what word does God want you to hear in this weary world? How will you listen? What word does God want you to speak to this weary world? How might God use you to empower those who are daily disempowered? And will we listen to God through those disempowered people? God is empowering them. It is so often we who are disempowering others. How will God open our ears through them? How might God empower you to speak words of hope to them? How might you, yes, even you, live as prophets, speaking words that will sustain the weary? We're called to that. And it might take many forms. How will you do that? Here's a piece of wisdom from Israel. Rabbi Meshulam Zusia, a Polish Jew who lived in the 18th century, once said that someday the angels will not ask him, "Zusia, why weren't you Moses?" Or, "Zusia, why weren't you Joshua?" Instead, they will ask this difficult question. This question that will be much more challenging to answer. "Zusia, why weren't you Zusia?" So let us finish with a closing question. Who are you called to be? Not you alone, but you and I, connected. How and to whom are we called to listen? How and to whom will we speak a sustaining word?